Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Bryant takes off, Rizzo with a base hit to right. Bryant on his way to third. Gary Jones is going to send him. Here comes a relay by Kepnes to the plate. Save! It's 5-1. Bryant goes first to home, and the Cubs lead by four. Rizzo sends a high drive to right. Way back. It's gone. Anthony Rizzo into the bleachers in right. And it's now 5-0.
Drop down fastball by Kershaw. And it didn't fool Rizzo at all. An absolute rocket to the seats in right. A no-doubter. Great swing by Rizzo.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So pretty extraordinary there. You hear, some of the highlights from Anthony Rizzo. That, of course, remember Game 6 of the NLCS. And we know they won the World Series in 2016. And we know that Anthony Rizzo was traded yesterday. And we'll find out what happens next, how this continues, what are the I don't know if you have any bold predictions you want to make, but I would imagine that Craig Kimbrel is still going to be traded at some point here, very possibly Chris Bryant. I personally hope they hang on to Javier Baez and try to make some kind of move. I'll be very curious to see if the Twins started a tear down here. Jose Berrios, another guy being mentioned on the market. There were so many huge deals yesterday. It's just been absolutely mind-melting to sit and watch all the things happening around baseball. And I think that today could be even more exciting. I don't know if it's possible to continually see this happen, but it seems like there is a feeling that the World Series is up for grabs because there are three teams out in the West, in the NL, that are all making huge moves. Oakland making huge moves. Does Tampa need to do something else? Because they went out and got a power hitter. You never see that sort of thing happen with Tampa. You look at all the deals that are being made. The Mets, the Sox have been losing of late. They've lost 6 of 8, and the Sox, they went from having the best, they still have the best lead in their division, but they have the fewest wins, 60 wins, other than anyone but the New York Mets. The Mets need, if they're going to win their division, they need to probably make a move or two here. So these are things that could happen before 3 o'clock today.
Yeah, I think what's going on here is that you look at the NL West, and obviously with the Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres, and then you go over in the American League and you look at the East with the Red Sox and the Rays. I was checking it this morning. I didn't realize why the Yankees were doing any of this, but they are just one or two down in the loss column from that final wild card spot in the AL. Now, I don't know how much you give up just to get a shot at a wild card and a one game play-in to even be a factor. You know, I think that's part of the consideration here. But where I was going with this is I think everybody expects that one of those three NL West teams is going to win the National League. And then you've got just the handful. I started to say Boston, Tampa, you got the White Sox, and then Houston, maybe Oakland. You know, you've got this pot of seven or eight teams that everybody agrees all have a great shot. And how much are they willing to pay? And then you come back to Chicago with the White Sox. How much are they willing to pay? With the Cubs, how much are they willing to give up? And will they get enough in return? So it's a fascinating trade deadline. I look forward to it every year. But this year it comes, you know, with kind of an empty feeling because it's exciting for Sox fans and just nothing but depressing for Cubs fans.
a couple of things, Hub, that I wanted to get your opinion on. Obviously, we haven't spent much time talking about the changes in college football, but we know that it's official. The SEC presidents voted unanimously today to extend membership, yesterday, to extend membership invitations to Oklahoma and Texas. They will have their vote today to approve it, and then it's just a question of the timing of it, when it actually occurs. But that changes the landscape of college football. You're a fan of Michigan, I know, and you know, we all watch a lot of Big Ten football around here. Do they need to respond to that, do you believe? Do you take a few minutes and think it out a little bit? You know, Jim Phillips left Northwestern. He's now the commissioner of the ACC. Does Jim need to do something to respond to this? The SEC is now, not that it wasn't already, unbelievable, you know, football territory, but you add a couple of teams like Texas and Oklahoma to what is already an extraordinary, talented group, and you worry that the Big Ten could be kind of aced out of this a little bit.
You do. You know, I struggle with this a lot, Mike, because it's as much the financial and the business. It's really more about the financial and the business side than it is about the quality of the game. I mean, you know, these teams have still got their three non-conference games. They can still schedule each other, Big Ten and SEC. I find it incredibly sad because I remember a time when the Big 12 mattered. And when the Cotton Bowl was a major bowl, you know, and things like that, and it's basically gone, you know. And when I see Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, I don't see how it can be anything more about money for the universities. I don't know how much it changes the quality of play with these programs, and I have a hard time getting my arms around it. So when you say, does the Big Ten need to respond? I don't know what they're going to do, you know, at this point. I never understood what the advantage of adding Rutgers and Maryland was. No offense to Rutgers and Maryland, but, you know, they don't
footprint,
fit.
Footprint, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for their TV
broadcasting
network.
Footprint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it was.
But what's left? I mean, I have felt for 20 years that Notre Dame belongs in the Big Ten, that's the one that makes the most sense. You know, they went out and pilfered Nebraska, so they've got that. But other than possibly finally convincing Notre Dame that they'd be better off, what are they going to do? I don't know what the
Colorado's
move that they can make
been
is.
Mentioned. Does that
Who
do
wants
anything
Colorado?
For you, Colorado?
just
more kind of moving the broadcasting footprint. That would be the answer.
Right.
To
so
that.
It's
I
a
agree
way.
With you.
Yeah, it's a way for these universities to continue to supplement their revenue, but I don't see that it has that positive an impact on the game or the excitement for us as fans.
All right, I wanted to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that later, though, because I want to get this in. Bruce Fein had a sit-down with Anthony Rizzo. It's just a really nice piece of work on Bruce's part, and certainly interesting to hear what Anthony had to say as he said goodbye. So let's take a listen to that right now.
Well, an end of an era, Riz. You know, as a close friend of yours, this is a hard day for both of us.
Yeah, it's definitely a closing to a chapter in life that you just didn't think was going to close, but it's the best years of my life, and getting to know you and all the other members of the media, I saw Sully, him being here forever too. Think of Carrie, just some really good memories. It's all good memories, and a lot of special things happen.
I can't start this interview before I talk about your parents, your wife, and Kevin, and how important they've been, Chicagoans and people. Just give me a couple seconds on, you know, them being Chicagoans, Floridians, but Chicagoans as well.
Yeah, they just, we all had an amazing journey here, you know, with the foundation and my parents getting to meet a lot of incredible people, and then meeting Emily in 2016 and getting married to her and winning the World Series, and her and I building our life here. So we have so many friends here out away from baseball that we've met along the way, and so many memories that, you know, this will always be like a second home to me, and that doesn't change just because, you know, I'm going to play for another team and going to play for the New York Yankees, which just sounds really, I don't think that's kicked in yet, but just the special times here will be, I know for sure Emily and I will be sitting in the back probably as soon as tomorrow because we're going home and I'm staying in my house, but just reflecting on all the memories, and it'll always bring smiles to my face.
So if I say top Chicago Cub memory while you were sitting out reflecting on your career outside at Wrigley Field near the Ivy, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I think the World Series, obviously. Those memories with those guys, but Lurie Children's Hospital, Foundation, all the kids we've had out at Wrigley, just all the fans, the people in Chicago buying you a beer, drinking a beer with them,
yeah.
All the memories on the field, but the two are definitely the World Series run, and then just all the good that the foundation has done here.
I think I'll remember you catching that ball from Chris more than anything else, but maybe what you just said, the first thing that comes to my mind is you making a kid who's maybe having some tough times smile.
Yeah, and even today, not playing today was tough, but you know, a lot of people were excited for this day to come and just watch a game, and they probably had it on their calendar for months coming to this game in specific, so not being able to play is tough, and but that's it, that's what it's all about, just being a good person and trying to play the game the right way and uplifting people.
So I'm going to take people back to 2 days ago. I get in touch with you and I say, look, do you want to know or you don't want to know? I'm pretty sure that the Yankees are on you, and they've asked me a lot of questions about you, and he said, you said, I don't want to go, but
being able to play for another historic franchise is it's really you couldn't ask for more. I mean, obviously I want to be here, and told the guys I'd rather, you know, sink with the ship. You know, if it's going to burn down, I want to burn down with it. But you know, talking to Jed, we had a good talk, emotional, and I love these guys. I love everyone here, you know, from the top to the bottom, and they've been nothing but good to me. And but to be able to go play for the Yankees now and jump into a really exciting team, I mean I grew up always watching the Yankees, so it's exciting. They're excited, and I can't wait to just jump in there and go be a baseball player.
Hopefully you'll go there and help them win, and then jump right back to the Chicago Cubs. On behalf of Mitch Rosen, who runs the Score, and everybody at the station, I just want to thank you for all the great cooperation and just being the friend to Chicago and the people of Chicago and the great kids and the sick kids, all those people. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, that was Bruce's goodbye interview with Anthony Rizzo. I think Bruce was more torn up about the trade than Rizzo. I mean, good God.
You know, Molly, it's kind of, as I'm listening to it, though, it is a little easier for me to understand. This guy is such a class act in every way. I mean, we right. forget that Riz, he's a cancer survivor himself. You know, I mean,
right.
I can't remember a bad moment from him or with him from the time he got here. And he's a great baseball player, and so it's just it's easy to understand all the emotion. And yeah, it's funny, the analogy that jumped out of that interview with me is when he said, I told the guys, I'd rather go down with the ship. The captain is supposed to go down with his ship. And you talk about one of the great captains, one of the great leaders. And I think that's why, you know, everybody in Cubs Nation is struggling so much this morning, regardless of what else comes next, whether it's, you know, Chris Bryant or Javi or whoever it is.
All right, next we'll bring in Brad Biggs. We're going to talk some Bears. It's Biggs time with Mully and Haw and the great Hub Arkish, and we'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have Hub Arkish sitting in for David today, and we are delighted to welcome in the man himself, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Big Z!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I think we're pretty happy about life. I mean, we're not going to argue with it. I think that there's an up and down with the baseball trades, but I think it's great to have the Bears in training camp. It'd be greater if they had everybody available. I'm sure you're anxious to find out what's going on with Akeem Hicks if you don't already know.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks, guys, was at practice on Wednesday. We didn't see him yesterday on Thursday. And the interesting dynamic this year is Matt Nagy chats with the media before practice each day. So yesterday morning he ran off a short list of guys that were not expected to practice. And then when Nagy was done talking, you know, 20, 30 minutes later, practice is rolling, and you see that, and Akeem wasn't out there, and the club had made it pretty clear that if a guy had an injury that wasn't accounted for in Nagy's pre-practice chit-chat, that they would update media afterward, and still no word on Akeem's whereabouts yesterday during practice. He wasn't placed on the COVID list, because you can check the personnel notice that the league sends out late in the afternoon every day. So that's a positive thing. So hopefully when Matt chats at 8:15 this morning or thereabout, we'll get some clarification, and it could be something really minor for why Akeem wasn't on the field yesterday.
Yeah, you know, and Brad, I'm sure that you spent as much time as I did and the rest of us, calling, digging last night, trying to find out. You usually don't get crickets at this level with something like this. And there are two possibilities. You know, one is that it's just, you know, bad PR and it's bad news and they didn't want to share it. Or two, that the Bears don't know fully, and I'm sure at least they have an idea of what's going on, but you would think that they would release some information to avoid this controversy, this uncertainty, and yet it did come out of nowhere. And it's possible that rather than them saying publicly we don't know either, that they're still trying to get information on this, be it there are three possibilities. One, we certainly hope that it's minor and it'll turn out to be much ado about nothing. But the second possibility is it's relative to an injury that they're trying to diagnose. The third possibility is that it's off the field type stuff. And to have this complete silence and none of us able to even get a whiff, this is pretty unusual.
Oh, I don't know how unusual, you know, my experience, Hub, I'm not sure how unusual it is by the way they kind of operate up here. So I personally don't feel that way. You know, we'll know in a little bit less than an hour. We'll have hopefully some kind of indication. Hopefully it's something that's really innocuous, because he'll certainly play a big role for them on defense this season, but a bit of a wild card. because I was told back in March that he was hoping for a new deal. I don't think that's going to happen with 1 year remaining on his contract, but we'll see how much light Nagy wants to shed on it. And like I said, it could be something that's completely innocuous.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, you're left to speculate. So it's a bad sign not to just let people know. If it's something innocuous, why wouldn't you just say, it's something innocuous. We'll tell you about it in the morning. I'm just being honest.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I've just seen it happen too many times up here where nothing's said, and then, the next day it's like, well, why would you even speculate it was this completely minor, trivial thing? Well, it could have told us yesterday.
What are your thoughts on Tevin Jenkins? And, we talked about, is this Chris Williams? There unfortunately have been moments where you've not gotten a lot of understanding about what's happened, or a guy comes pre-injured, or what it might be. I think that none of this really matters till you start hitting to a certain extent, but it all matters, and it all is disturbing, and they don't have an absolute lockdown left tackle. It's a pretty important position to be kind of wondering, who's going to play there?
Yeah, Tevin Jenkins and Jermaine Ifedi have yet to practice. I think eyebrows will be raised next week when they put pads on if one or both of those guys are still out. If, Tevin Jenkins missing practices that aren't pads, not ideal, but not cause for concern. If he's still out next week when they hit pads on, because really, Tevin Jenkins isn't, at least right away, guys, he's not going to look like he's got those basketball feet that you look for from that left tackle. I mean, he's more of a mauler. He's a big guy. He's physical, and he can't really show what he can do until he's got pads on. And if he's sidelined, still working through this back issue next week when they throw pads on, that would then I think you start to be concerned a little bit. These practices that aren't in pads, hey, he's missing reps, he's missing instruction, but I think you got to wait until pads go on, which I believe will be Monday, gentlemen, to say, hey, he's really missing some valuable stuff now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure according to the rules of engagement negotiated between the Players Association and the owners in this new CBA that Monday is the first day that they're allowed to put pads on. It probably will be. Brad, I'm not overly concerned about missing a day or two and having a tight back. To me, that's the last of my concerns about the position. What I do wonder, though, is that, as you point out, most draft analysts and evaluators liked Jenkins but assumed that he was a right tackle. I won't say they said he couldn't play left tackle. But then I go the step beyond that and say, all right, but what if he's not ready? What if he turns out he's a great pick but he's just not ready like so many rookies aren't? What are your other options? I didn't see one on the roster, and the Bears didn't want to tell us most of the offseason, but finally came out the other day, and Matt said, right now, Elijah Wilkinson and Jenkins are competing for that spot, which tells us that they see Wilkinson as the swing tackle, and I don't know, maybe he could compete for the spot. I can't remember exactly how Matt worded it, but I think he said, he's got experience there. Elijah Wilkinson has been primarily a right tackle and a guard throughout his career. I think he's taken a few snaps at left tackle. I'm just stunned that the way we value that position, particularly on this team, that this is what they're prepared to go to war with this year and assume that they're going to be okay or even better than Charles Leno.
Yeah, well, they rolled the dice when they cut Leno, a guy who made 93 consecutive starts at left tackle for them. That was a calculated gamble. I don't know if they felt like they were going to be in a spot where they could get a little bit better depth there, but salary cap issues, as you know, have shaped a lot of the decisions that the club has been forced to make this year, and there's a real dice roll. Because I'm with you, I don't think you want to have Elijah Wilkinson as anything more than an emergency option at left tackle, and you don't know if Tevin Jenkins can do it. My guess is Plan C, which they certainly don't want to get to, would likely involve putting Cody Whitehair out there. They've done a consistent job of putting Whitehair probably where he's not best on that offensive line in his career, and he's done a credible job. They'll be much better off if Cody Whitehair is their left guard this season. And the one thing you do like about Whitehair where he's at right now at left guard is that if Tevin Jenkins is the starter, and hopefully he is at left tackle, you've got your most experienced lineman playing next to him on every snap.
All right. So the Green Bay Packers announced that they have come to a resolution of the contract issue with Aaron Rodgers. And basically, there's nothing here. They've erased the third year of the deal. Rodgers probably could be traded next year if he wants to be. And, you know, who knows how that will turn out. And then, of course, he's not going to have to give back any signing bonus. That's sort of what they gave him. Maybe not what we anticipated. But I'd like to get both your thoughts. Now that Rodgers is back and now that he's under contract, are they the champions of the division yet again? Is this whole offseason been much ado about nothing?
Well, I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is lining up at center, they're the prohibitive favorite. Now, we've yet to see, you know, what kind of fallout there's going to be from this. If he's going to have to work to mend some things in the locker room as well, I don't know. But he was the MVP of the league last year, and I think he was a slam dunk choice to win that award. They've got some pretty good players on the other side of the ball as well. Yeah, I think you have to pick the Packers until someone shows that they can unseat them. They've won the NFC North 7 of the last 10 years, guys.
And Hub?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that they're the preseason favorites and should be. It's funny, guys. We've been talking about this since February, and I think the three of us have kind of been in lockstep trying to tell everybody there was never any chance that Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson were playing for anybody but the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Texans this year. You just don't move guys like this. You know, there's no way to make a fair deal. And so now people are saying, well, the Packers gave in. The Packers gave in on nothing. I mean, he's still under contract this year and next year, at which point he will be 39 years old. Yeah, maybe they could trade him next year if they want to, but they've seen nothing from Jordan Love to suggest that they should. This has been a completely wasted offseason and a lot of trauma and angst created by Rodgers for no reason other than to soothe his own ego. But yeah, you know, as long as he's there, because he is one of the greatest players of all time, they're the favorite in the North. The only thing, I might not go with Brad on prohibitive, because I still don't think the rest of the roster is that great. And if Rodgers even got nicked and just lost a couple games, if the Vikings are much improved, you know, if the Bears did make a run, it wouldn't take much for somebody to get past them. But as long as Rodgers plays 15 or 16 games, you got to assume the Packers are going to win the division.
I think prohibitive. They got Randall Cobb back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this whole thing has been such a play to absolutely nothing but Aaron Rodgers' ego. And okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, he is one of the greatest of all time. I guess they're entitled to have egos. But boy, if I'm a Packers fan, what he did to that community and that organization this offseason for no good reason, it really is unfortunate.
Brad, when we look at the Bears, obviously, you know, we just made a joke about Randall Cobb. What are you seeing thus far from the wide receiver position? Is there any hint that that they're going to miss Anthony Miller and any hint that they might be caught up short? I mean, Allen Robinson is still Allen Robinson. We know Darnell Mooney, we're expecting things from. Demarius Byrd is a guy that could have a big season. Who knows? What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, the biggest highlight maybe from the wide receivers yesterday was Darnell Mooney putting a double move on Jalen Johnson. And, guys, Jalen Johnson went to the ground immediately. It would be like the most dastardly crossover move that you see on a YouTube highlight from the basketball floor. And Johnson came up a little gimpy, got checked out by the trainer. Fortunately, he returned. But Mooney has got the speed that's going to make him a potentially a special player in this Bears offense, but you've got questions after the top two. Nagy kind of listed Damiere Byrd and Marquise Goodwin yesterday. He said that Goodwin is not a track guy playing football. I think you'll find personnel people out there that would probably beg to differ with that, but they're kind of battling it out there. Byrd is the interesting one to me based on his production with the Patriots a year ago. And then after that, it's kind of a toss-up where, as Nagy referenced and we all know, you get to fourth, fifth, and sixth spots on the depth chart, and it's, you know, what can you do for me on special teams? Riley Ridley, a couple of dropped passes yesterday. I think we've all seen Javon Wims enough to know that he's a little bit limited. If both those guys make the roster, I think it means some of these fresh faces that they've got in place have been underwhelming. There should be a lot of preseason opportunities for guys to step up and make some plays. And who knows, maybe that's a position that they keep an eye on with the waiver wire. They signed a couple guys, including former Falcon Justin Hardy earlier this week. So they're kind of turning that position over a little bit at the bottom to see some different guys.
Big Z, great stuff as always. Thank you, buddy. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brad. That, see you later.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, from the Chicago Tribune. Always a joy to talk to Big Z. That's funny stuff. You know, here's hoping that they get that position resolved. Hub, we've got news. I don't know that it's breaking news, but we've got interesting news from John Heyman regarding the Cubs that we will discuss next. Maybe somebody on the move that you didn't expect, one guy replacing another, will explain. It's Mully and Haw. He is the great Hub Arkish on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Anything can happen, to be honest. You guys see the business side. I'm hopefully I stay here. If not, obviously, I know where I came from. You know, I know Chicago is a big thing, and the fans love every sport here. So my heart is always going to be here.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are fortunate enough to have Hub Arkish with us this morning. Hub sitting in for David, and always a joy to talk to Hub, and he's a lifelong Cub fan, so this one hits home. We got John Heyman on Twitter. John, locked in insider, great guy, and here's what John has to say. He says, Bryant has been linked to the Mets for weeks, but Baez is in the discussions as well. Baez could replace his great friend Lindor at shortstop, then switch to second base once Lindor returns. Baez said aloud this week he wanted to team with Francisco, so either Bryant or Baez are possible for the New York Mets. Now, that's not exactly what Baez said earlier this week. He said that, you know, he and Frankie Lindor are friends. He said that the only way he would play second base is if he was with Frankie Lindor. He didn't say that he wanted to go play with Frankie Lindor. He said he enjoyed playing with Frankie Lindor when they were in the World Baseball Classic and they're friends. And this is a Spanish interview that he did in Puerto Rico that we're talking about. And, you know, the Dustin has been miffed about it ever since.
Same church, different pew. Okay, that's all that is. It's same church, different pew. No, he didn't say that I want to continue, but he's willing. Just saying you're willing to play second base, if that meant hanging out with Frankie Lindor, that's exactly the same thing as saying he's willing to leave Chicago. This is not the time for him to be telling us, the fans, and us, the media, that he is willing and able to go play second base for...
It's a slight difference, I understand. But what he said was he would only play second base if it was with Lindor. In other words, he was probably talking about rating himself as a shortstop, and Frankie Lindor is a really good shortstop. I'd play second base with Frankie, but no one else, because he doesn't see anyone else in Major League Baseball. I'm just saying, there could be a different interpretation. You just heard him say that he wants to be in Chicago and he's not looking to leave.
But I wonder, based off of John Heyman's tweet about 10 minutes ago now, it came out while we were talking to Biggs. if Cub fans would, at this point, and I'd love to get Hub's opinion on this, if you would rather them ship Baez or Bryant to the Mets, because I bet the return is probably the same. Like, the package is fairly similar, except I guess if you're trading Baez over to the Mets, whatever they have in the area of second base slash shortstop is maybe what you would want, as opposed to a more multifaceted player if you were trading Bryant, as far as the prospects would go.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in there. You know, guys, first of all, I don't know that anybody's concerned about what Javi's willing to do. He doesn't get a vote here. The concern is, would he queer a trade by acting badly and suggesting, and I don't think he would. He's a competitor. He wants to play. That's number one. Number two, I disagree strongly that the prospect should be the same. Chris Bryant is the better player. Chris Bryant is an MVP, and there is a huge difference between a 295 OBP and a 360. Which is kind of the range you find these guys, I get that Javi is an all-star shortstop and they're hard to find. But with Bryant's flexibility and the positions he can play, Bryant's got to be the more valuable prospect. What I find ironic about all this is I'm sitting here thinking about it. This all started over a year ago because of Chris Bryant and Scott Boras and the perception that this might happen because the Cubs couldn't re-sign all these guys. How ironic would it be if at 3:10 today, Bryant was the only one left? That would be quite a turnabout from where this whole thing started. I'm not surprised that any contending team wouldn't want either or. But depending on what their lineup looks right now, I still got to believe that Bryant is a lot more attractive to everybody, probably including the Mets, than Javi Baez is.
312-644-6767. Baez was a runner-up for an MVP. Mm-hmm. The year Christian Yelich won. I just find it fascinating that Anthony Rizzo has been traded. I honestly believed that the Cubs would come to the conclusion that they had to trade Bryant or Baez. I thought it was Bryant. I thought we understood that Rizzo was coming back. And I thought that they would cut a deal with Baez. And they had a deal in place pre-pandemic, around $200 million reportedly. So I don't know that we expected them to trade all these guys. And it seems this morning, as we talk about a 3 p.m. deadline, that everyone could be gone by 3 o'clock today.
Yeah, and let me be clear, because I think we're splitting hairs here when we start talking about what kind of prospect, what kind of return with Baez and Bryant. I mean, I love Javi Baez. I'm not trying to downgrade one or the other. I'm just saying from a purely unemotional baseball perspective that I would just think that Bryant would be the safer. Now, in fairness, Baez has been healthier. The one thing about Bryant that we don't talk about is the nagging injuries, and the couple games here and the couple games there. This has been going on for 2 years now, and hopefully it's not chronic, but you can't ignore it. Mike, I think that to me the key and the stunner of Rizzo going first is if it's not a complete teardown, I'm going to be shocked. Because the one guy that I think everybody expected to still be standing, if one was Riz. And so... My guess is that they're doing all they can to put the best offers on the table we can't even leave Wilson Contreras out of this conversation. He may have, a catcher who's having the season he has in batting leadoff. Today could get a lot worse than some Cub fans are expecting.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number, and the Score listener line is powered by BetQL, BetSmarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And there are tons of BetQL additions for you on the Odyssey app. Let's get to Marty. Marty is in Highland Park. Good morning, Marty.
Guys, though I'm a Sox fan, I'm from New York, and I still follow the Mets. And you guys don't understand the Mets situation. The Mets have an excellent second baseman. Jeff McNeil is a 300 hitter. They need a third baseman. If they trade for Baez, they're crazy. It makes absolutely no sense. They desperately need a third baseman and have an all-star second baseman. So I don't see the Baez deal happening with the Mets.
Well, Mike, if I can jump in, I got a pretty easy answer. Why can't Javi Baez play third base? I mean, he's a Gold Glove All-Star infielder, you know, and so even if it's not second but it's third, it makes sense that Javi Baez could be in the conversation with the Mets.
You're trying to win the World Series. You don't put a guy at third base who hasn't played there. It just doesn't make any sense. Bryant makes perfect sense. Baez makes no sense.
To A-Rod.
Yeah, I mean, I just told you why Baez makes perfect sense. I'm not saying it's the right move, but you know, we're not talking about some, you know, double-A prospect who hasn't played third base. I think that in a situation like this, do you know how nuts New York would go if they added Javi Baez with Frankie Lindor? You know, I realize Lindor may not be available right now, but there's plenty of reasons to think that Baez could make sense with, I think, anyway.
All right. Thank you, Marty. We will we'll be back. We're going to bring in Ron Coomer. You know, among the many wonderful elements of Ron Coomer is the very fact that he has played for both the Chicago Cubs and the New York Yankees. So we can talk to the Coom Dog about what that experience is like and what is in front of Anthony Rizzo. And we'll get his take on what's happened and how it's going to go.
Just a quick question for you, Molly. Yeah, I'm the football guy here at the Score, but I had the occasion to spend some time with Coombs 2 years ago before we all got shut down and locked in the house. Is there a more enjoyable person, a guy who can just consistently brighten your day with a visit in our business than Ron Coomer? I just look forward to talking to Coombs and then we get to the other stuff.
He's one of God's great men. There's no way around it. And we'll tell him that. We'll try to embarrass him when we bring him back. But we'll talk to Ron Coomer next. Mully and Haw, he is Hub Arkish. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.